remain standing as we read our sermon text from the Gospel, the Good News of Matthew, chapter 6, starting at verse 5, page 950 in the Pew Bible. Hear God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. Matthew 6, 5. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Amen. You may be seated. And now I ask that you would pray for me as I preach and for yourselves as you listen. Let's pray. Lord, we want to listen to your Spirit. And your word says, let him who hears hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And so speak to your church, Lord. Jesus, teach us to pray. And thank you for this lesson on prayer. And help us now to learn your ways and to get rid of the world's ways when it comes to prayer, because we want to have that open dialogue with you. And so lead us, teach us, equip us, and may you receive the glory, the praise, and the honor that you deserve, even when we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The sermon title this morning is, When You Pray, Kingdom-Minded Prayer. Kingdom-Minded Prayer. One of the first lessons that pastor Andrew Murray, South African pastor, in the 19th century, one of the first lessons he gave in his book, A Believer's New Life, is we need to think spiritually about spiritual things. We need to think spiritually about what we find in the scriptures rather than thinking fleshly or from a man-centered perspective. And so we need to think spiritually, or we need to think in a kingdom-minded way regarding prayer. And so this morning I want to enroll us, if we are not already enrolled, I want to enroll us all in Christ's school of prayer. And this is lesson one. Amen. There is a book by that title, With Christ in the School of Prayer, by Andrew Murray. And so if you haven't read it, I urge you to get a copy and read it. I think we have a copy in our Mount Carmel library. And so if you want to get your hands on that copy, today I'll be the acting librarian and make sure you get that. Or you could get it online. I think you could probably find an e-book of it, or you can go to Amazon. Anyway, there are a lot of ways to get access to that book. I recommend, because he really focuses on what the Bible teaches regarding prayer. And so here's one of those passages that he would refer to. This is one of the first lessons on prayer that Jesus gives us. And so who better to teach us how to pray than Jesus, the one who always lives to intercede for us. Amen. And so Jesus is teaching and correcting and redirecting the thinking and the practice of the people of God, the church. And just to give you the context of Matthew 6, comes in the middle, in the heart of the Sermon on the Mount. So in the Eastern Hebrew mind, what comes in the middle is the most important. So that's how important prayer is. It's right in the middle. It's the meat of the sandwich, as it were. Amen? And so, to give you some context, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus talks about man's prescriptions regarding the law of God. You have heard it said. But then Jesus says, but I say to you. And so Jesus corrects the fleshly understanding of the law and gives the spiritual and true understanding of the law that finds its fulfillment in him. Amen? That's chapter 5 in a nutshell. But don't take my word for it. You go and read chapter 5 for yourself and see if the preacher is saying what's true and right. Amen? Because I want to be accountable to God's word. And so I'm looking to you to help me stay accountable. Amen? Be good Bereans and search the scriptures to see whether these things are so. Amen? Amen. And then chapter 6 compares man's practices with King Jesus' practices in righteousness. And one of those practices is giving. We talked about giving last week. And then another practice is prayer. We're talking about that this week. And sometime in the future, we will talk about fasting. But because Advent is coming up very soon, and we'll do a series on the Nativity, the incarnation of Jesus Christ, we probably won't hear about fasting till like the first of the year, which may be a good time for fasting after feasting at Thanksgiving and Christmas time. Just saying. Something to look forward to. So man's practices of righteousness, you know, there was a certain way that people gave and a certain way that people prayed and a certain way that people fasted. And then there's Jesus' correction of those practices. And then chapter 7, last chapter in the Sermon on the Mount, man's produce in righteousness, the results versus King Jesus' produce or King Jesus' fruit of righteousness. What can we expect when we do things Jesus' way? What kind of fruit? Good fruit. Amen? That's what we can expect as we live in a kingdom-minded way. And so today we want to talk about prayer from a kingdom-minded focus. And whenever we do some kind of righteousness, we want to live in a way that's pleasing to God. And we're not doing it to show to men, but we're doing it because we love our Father in heaven. And so three times in chapter 6, Jesus says, when you do these things, do them in secret, so your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And that's in Matthew 6, verse 4, Matthew 6, verse 6, and Matthew 6, verse 18. And so it says it three times. So if God says it once, we need to pay attention. If he says it twice, you really need to pay attention. If he says it three times, then you're without excuse. So, let's pay attention. What we do, we want to do before our Father in heaven. We want to do what's right in his sight, not in what's right in our sight. Remember during the period of the judges, everyone did what was right in his own sight. But God wants us to do what's right before God in his sight. Amen. And so the big idea of the sermon this morning is this. When we pray, we must focus on our Father. When we pray, we must focus on our Father. And then I have three points. The first is, if you're not focusing on the Father, you must stop. You must stop. And then, second is, so there's stop, and then the second point is go. Go to your secret place. That's a command. Go. When you pray, go. Go to your secret place. And then lastly, expect. Expect God to bless you when you come into the presence of your Father in that secret place. Expect it. He tells us to expect it. Expect great reward. Do you believe that if you go to that special time, that special place, that most important appointment of the day, do you believe that your Heavenly Father will bless you? I do. Some of you are witnesses out there. Some of you know. Some of you are growing strong in your faith because you've made that time and that place a priority. Number one priority for the day. God gives us 24 hours every day. And the first and best hour of that day ought to be his. Amen. And then someday, when all our traveling days are done, we will be with him forever, with our Father, our loving Heavenly Father forever. But he grants us a daily foretaste of fellowship with him, if we would but strive to enter into that rest that he gives us every day. Amen. When we pray, we must focus on our loving Heavenly Father. Now, let me back up a second. I said loving Heavenly Father because none of us, not one of us, have had perfect earthly fathers. Have any of you had a perfect earthly father? No. Have any of you been a perfect Heavenly Father? Those of you who have been fathers? No. And so even if you had a very good earthly father, and some of us have had very good earthly fathers, still wasn't perfect. And so we need to pray to our Heavenly Father that we can understand who he is as a perfect Heavenly Father, even though we have had fallible and sinful earthly fathers. All of us need to pray for that. Because none of us, to a man and a woman, none of us have had perfect earthly fathers. So there's a lot that we need to learn regarding fathers, and there's a lot we need to unlearn. And there's a lot we need to forgive. Forgive, which is huge. If you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. That's Matthew 6:14. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is huge. And so we need to honor our fathers and our mothers. And one of the most important ways to honor them is to forgive them. And to pray for them that they would be forgiven and healed and saved in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I could almost close the book and sit down right there. That's a sermon in itself. That's food for us. And if you don't feel that you have the ability, maybe you don't. But you have access. If you cry out to God and say, Lord, give me that power, that love, that ability. And realize if you have trusted in Jesus and His cross, it's all there. It's all there. Jesus at the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so there's power. There's much power. There's infinite power for forgiveness from the cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Hallelujah. When we pray, we must focus on the Father. There are things that we must stop. Stop being hypocrites in prayer. Yeah, stop being a heathen in prayer. I'm pointing to myself, too. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be a play actor. I don't want to put on a show. I don't want to make a big speech when I pray. I don't want to be mechanical and heartless in prayer, repeating myself and thinking, well, if I just say it enough times, then God has to do it. Kind of like in 1 Kings chapter 18, where the priests of Baal kept repeating, oh, Baal, answer us. They kept repeating, asking for God to send fire to burn up the sacrifice. You can read about that in 1 Kings 18. And so they prayed, the 400 priests of Baal, you'd think that with all them crying out and jumping up and down and cutting themselves to show that they were sincere. Sincerity, a lot of people have sincerity, but that sincerity isn't enough to be heard. We have to pray God's way, pray in truth. And then also, you see Elijah, one man of God, James tells us, of same kind of nature, cut from the same kind of cloth as we are. He prays and God hears. And so he prays, and we can turn to First Kings for this First Kings chapter 18 and verse 36 when Elijah prays. He prays at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, which, by the way, is the time when Jesus was crucified. Speaking of keep me near the cross. He prays at the time of the evening sacrifice. Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel. So he's praying that God would be known, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. So important to pray according to the word of God. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now, when all the people saw this, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Our God is a God who hears us when we pray. Amen. And so, don't have the wrong motivation. Stop having the wrong motivation in prayer. Don't be like those who love to make a show and love to pray standing in the synagogue or standing on the broad street corner so that they may be seen by men. Don't love to be seen by men, but do love to be seen by your Father in heaven who sees in secret. Amen. And then go to your secret place. It says, but you, or in opposition to, or in contrast to hypocrites and the heathen, but you, we should be different, right? Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2. But you, when you pray, and it says when you pray, it says when you pray twice. So it's a given that as a Christian you will pray. Just like it's a given when you are born that you're going to breathe. Right? If you're born, you breathe. If you stop breathing, guess what? You're dead. Or you have to be resuscitated so that you can start breathing again. It's the same thing for the Christian regarding prayer. If we're a Christian, we pray. That is our spiritual respiration. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5. And then Jesus taught that we should always pray and not give up. Luke 18:1. And so prayer is our spiritual respiration. If you want to be healthy, if you want to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, you must pray. And you will pray. And say, Lord, that seems tough that I need to always pray. Well, if we just try harder, then it is a burden. But if we trust in the Lord and say, Lord, this is what you say, please help me do it by your Spirit, then it's not burdensome. Because then as we submit to it, as we yield to it, guess what? God gives us the power to do it by his Spirit. Amen? And that's food. We need that. I need that. Do you think the pastor doesn't struggle with prayer? He does. If I didn't, then I wouldn't be able to understand your struggles. And so I struggled right along with you. And so I need to discipline myself for the purpose of godliness. And God gives us his Spirit so that we can each discipline ourselves. Amen? So go to your secret place. The word translated secret place is inner room. KJV has closet. Closet's good. Some of you pray in the closet. That's fine. But you could pray in the bathroom. Or you could pray in the basement. Or the rec room. Shut the door is a good thing. You may not need to shut the door if it's private already. But if it's not private, shut the door. So you're not distracted. You want your prayer to be unobserved, undisturbed, and unheard. Amen? But God observes. And God hears. And he doesn't disturb. He actually helps us in our prayer. One of the wonderful blessings in prayer is that Jesus intercedes for us. Andrew Murray says there are two intercessors. Christ, the advocate above, and the Holy Spirit, the advocate within. These two are gifts of His love. And so if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, you have both those intercessors working for you even now. Do you believe it? I'm a witness. Thank God for those two intercessors. They're praying for you. Jesus is praying for you above, and the Holy Spirit is praying for you within. That is if you are a believer. How do you become a believer? Well, trust in the Lord Jesus. Trust in what He did on that cross to make a way for sinners to be made into saints and those who pray and call on the name of the Lord. Amen? So trust that when Jesus died on the cross, He was dying not for His sin, but for my sin and for your sin. And so we need to acknowledge that we have sinned, that we've broken God's law, that we've done what God said not to do, and we have not done what God has said we should do. And so we haven't loved God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we haven't loved our neighbor as ourselves. We haven't respected our neighbor as ourselves. Because all our neighbors are created in the image and likeness of God, Bible tells us. And so we need to respect one another and honor and value one another. Amen? But when we fall short of that, there is a way that that sin, and there is a way that the wages of sin can be taken away. And that way is through the cross. Christ died for sinners. God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, or Christ died in our place. And so you need to acknowledge you're a sinner, believe that Christ died in your place and was raised up again so that you could be made right with God. And then, that's the belief in Christ's death and resurrection, but then also call on the name of the Lord. For all who call the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on Jesus. Jesus, please save me. This is the first prayer, and it's the beginning of many, many other prayers. That's the first breath. And then there are many breaths after that as we pray without ceasing. But that's the beginning. But then the practice of prayer, so important every day to go to that place and to have that time to give to that most important appointment. I mean it. It is the most important. Which appointment is more important than meeting with your Creator, the living true God, the one who made you, and the one who redeems you, and the one who is going to completely remake you after the image of His Son? What could be more important than meeting with Him? Anything? Nothing. Okay. Just saying. So, when we pray as the adopted, beloved children of our Father. And we want to have a dialogue, a love relationship is going on here. And so we don't need to make big speeches, especially if we're in private. We're not going to impress God. And so instead of being an actor, we need to be real before God. He knows what's on our hearts. He knows what we need before we pray. He's omniscient. Everything is laid bare before Him. And He wants to hear our voice in prayer. And so go to Him. Know that you are going to the One who rejoices over you with singing. Zephaniah 3:17. That's how God feels about His children in Christ. You are my beloved child in whom I am well pleased. Do you believe that God is well pleased with you in Christ? If you don't believe it, believe it. Say to yourself, then, if that's what God's word says, what I'm thinking is a lie. And I'm going to stop believing a lie, and I'm going to start believing in the truth. Amen? Because even my thoughts, if they're contrary to Scripture, they're wrong. Let's just put it out there on the table. If my thoughts are contrary to Scripture, they're wrong. If my words are contrary to Scripture, if my preaching is contrary to Scripture, it's wrong. Don't listen to it. Let those words fall to the ground. But what I say that's according to God's word and according to the Spirit of God, listen. Because that's a word from God. He promises to work in and through the preaching of the word. Amen. Give time to what's most important. You know, we will give time to what we love most. What do you love most in your life? What do you love most in your life? If we looked at your log, your time log for the day, we would find out. And I'm not going to ask you to search and know yourself. I'm going to ask you to ask the Holy Spirit. Search me and know me. Show me how I'm spending my time. Because we give the most time to what we love most. And if we are called, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength, then there should be some significant time that goes to our Heavenly Father. Amen? Go to the secret place. Have a private, undistracted, uninterrupted place. And then expect. Expect God to bless you when you meet with Him in secret. Do you expect God to bless you when you meet with Him in secret? Do you? I do. And if I don't, I have to kind of shake myself. Wait a second. You're meeting with the God of all blessing. Praise God from whom? Yeah. From whom all blessings flow. That's who we're going to when we go to the Lord. Expect God to bless you when you meet with Him in secret. What is the reward? Well, the reward is our loving Father Himself. John Piper wrote a book, God is the Gospel. God is the gospel. What good is salvation? What good is heaven if God isn't in it, if God isn't there? And so we want to love and know and enjoy God, not so much for his gifts. We're grateful for his gifts, but we want to love and enjoy God for himself. In all of his glory, all of his beauty. And so we are called to seek God's gifts. But more than that, we want to seek the giver. God wants to give himself to us. And that's what we're after when we go to that secret place. We want to meet with the living God. And there's a glory and a joy and a love that is even hard to express. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Trying to get at the wonder, the glory, and beauty of knowing God as your loving, perfect, heavenly Father. We have to get our minds around that. We need to have a kingdom-minded understanding of our Heavenly Father, because an earthly-minded understanding of God our Father just will not do. And so we pray, Lord, please transform us by the renewing of our minds. And that mind renewal happens in that secret place. And so you can take some of the things that the pastor talks about, the scripture passages, and you can pray them back to the Lord and say, Lord, is this so in my life? Do I know you that way? Do I want to know you that way? And hear God's answers from scripture. God is all-knowing and all-seeing, and he knows all that is in our heart. And so our passage says, therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need for before you ask him. He knows what you need, and he's going to provide what you need. Remember, this is God who has been revealed in Scripture as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. And in the mount it shall be provided, the mount of Moriah, which became Mount Calvary, where Isaac was almost sacrificed, but a ram that was caught in thorns was sacrificed instead of Isaac, instead of you and me. The Lord provides. So he knows what we need. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? He will. He will. Hallelujah. And so bring your requests to God. Don't be anxious about anything. Bring your requests to God. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. With thanksgiving. And then what do we expect? And then the peace of God, which goes beyond human understanding, it will guard your hearts and minds. Who needs their heart and who needs their mind guarded in Christ Jesus? I do. Yes. I need my heart and my mind guarded by Christ Jesus. So I'm going to give thanks. And I'm going to bring those petitions to our Father. He's going to hear them. And he's going to do what's right and good every time. Because we know and we're convinced that God will work everything together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. He's working out His purposes for good. Well, then why pray? Some of you might be thinking that. And that's a good question. Because God says to. That's one reason. And because God wants to have fellowship, friendship, union, communion with you. With you. If you're hearing my voice, because God wants to know and love on you. Do you believe that? It's the gospel. We need to believe the gospel when it comes to prayer. God wants to meet with you. God loves you. He loves to hear your voice. So cry out, Abba Father. Because when you cry out, Abba Father, it's you crying. It's your renewed spirit, your born again spirit crying out. And it's the Holy Spirit crying out. Hallelujah. Abba, Father, Daddy. Listen to the voices of the children whom you love in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm a child of God. Say it. I am a child of God by faith. And my daddy in heaven loves to hear my voice. Hallelujah. Expect God to bless you when you meet with Him in secret. That's called union and communion with our Abba Father in heaven. And so it's not mechanical. Get away from the mechanical. Now, it doesn't mean you can't use a set prayer. The Lord gives us a set prayer. He says, in this manner or in this way, pray. So this is how you pray in the Lord's Prayer, verses 9 through 13. And that's a subject for another sermon. But I leave that with you as a way how to pray, the kinds of things to pray for, and what kind of priorities in prayer. But it's also a set prayer where Jesus says, when you pray, say this. Luke 11 gives us the Lord's Prayer that way, that these are the words that you can use to pray. So there are set prayers that we can use. We can pray the Psalms again. But the key is that our heart and our mind is engaged in talking to and listening to our Father in heaven. It's a dialogue. It's a relationship. And so we want to get away from the mechanical and the magical. It's not like we're making some kind of incantation and then God has to do things the way we want them because we've said certain words. We can't name it and claim it and demand. We need to relate to God and seek His face and sometimes be quiet before Him and humble ourselves and fear Him and know that the secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him. And that in Psalm 34:17, that the righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers out of all their troubles. Do you believe that? Any of you have trouble? I have troubles. You have troubles. Welcome to life in a sin-cursed world. We all have troubles. And so we cry out, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears. Your Father in heaven hears and delivers out of all, not some of, all of your troubles. Hallelujah. So, don't complain to me. Complain to Him. He wants to hear it. Complain to the one who can do something about it. And He will in His time. And along the way,
He will use that trouble. Do you know that God is able to take the valley of troubles, the valley of Achor, and make them into a door of hope? Why do I say that? Because the Bible says it. Hosea chapter 2. Hosea chapter 2. Where is Hosea? Hosea chapter 2. 885 in your pew Bible. You can go to 2:14. God is speaking to His wayward bride, Israel. His wayward bride, the church. His people. He says, therefore, behold, I will allure her. I will lovingly draw her to myself. I will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her. Anyone needs someone to speak comfort to you? Let the Lord do it. Because nobody speaks comfort like our Father in heaven. He's able to comfort us in our affliction. And so we can comfort others with which the comfort we receive from Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I will give her vineyards from there, and in the valley of Achor, or in the valley of trouble, as a door of hope. God is able to take us through the valley of trouble and make that valley of trouble a door of hope to us. She shall sing there, as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt. May the Lord take those troubles, take that valley of trouble and make it a door of hope to you, a door of return to fellowship with your Father in heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Thank you, our Father. Thank you that you want to hear our voice, that you want us to pray. And so put that spirit of supplication, of prayer in us, that we would cry out to you, and that you would hear us, and that you would deliver us from all our troubles, and that we would know you and be filled with your unspeakable joy and glory. Thank you, Lord, that you desire fellowship with your children in Christ Jesus. It's in His name and for His sake we pray. For your glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.